This morning, they huddled online in the cold in temporary polling stations set up in tents on sandy-ravaged Staten Island. In Florida, one woman tweeted that she showed up an hour before polls opened, waited 3 hours, and then ended up with one of those provisional ballots. In Pinellas County, Florida, election officials mistakenly robocalled hundreds, maybe thousands of voters, telling them they had till 7 p.m. tomorrow to vote. Of course, today is voting day, election 2012. President Obama, who voted earlier in the year, is in Chicago today, where he thanked campaign workers and told reporters,
"No matter what happens, I just want to say how much I appreciate everybody who supported me, everybody who's worked so hard on my behalf. Again, I want to congratulate Governor Romney and his team for a hard-fought race as well."
Mitt Romney voted at his home in Belmont, Massachusetts, hugging family members goodbye and saying this,
"What do you vote for?
Good luck. Thank you.
Feeling good about Ohio, Governor? Feeling good about Ohio?
Take care. Yeah, I feel great about Ohio.
Thank you."
Asked there, how do you feel about Ohio? Governor Romney said, feel great about Ohio. He is now in Ohio. And we're going to go to Ohio as well in just a couple of minutes and to other battleground states to see how is it going on Election Day 2012. And Charlie Mattesian, a national political editor at Politico, will be our co-pilot. So, Charlie, first scan the horizon. How is it going in general across the country? How's the turnout? What are the problems? What are you seeing?
Well, pretty much a standard election morning, particularly for an election where there's a great deal of interest. There's lots of reports of strong turnout in places. There's reports of strong turnout in western Pennsylvania and in the Pennsylvania suburbs and lots of different places. And I think it's typical for an election day that you'd also hear about lots of problems, as we heard earlier, ballot malfunctions, offices not opening on time. And then on top of all that, you've got the states that have had to struggle through Hurricane Sandy recently. And those are a special kind of challenge. And so you see all that across the election landscape this morning.
We are, over the course of the hour, going to check in on that post-Sandy voting to see how that's going and on some of the problems that you mentioned. But first of all, what are you looking at? I mean, the Boston Globe has a terrific what to watch for as the results come in tonight. And they say 6 p.m. Look for Mitt Romney's margin of victory in Indiana, which Barack Obama won in 2008. Where would you point us?
Well, if you break it down by the poll closing times, that's a good way to do it. And the earliest polls close in Indiana and Vermont and Virginia, South Carolina, Kentucky, Georgia. Those are the first places you want to look. One race to take a look at is Indiana, not just the presidential race, but there's a key Senate race right there where a Republican nominee is supposed to win that seat. If he's not winning that seat, then, you know, that's a worrisome sign for Republicans and probably a sign that's going to be a long night in their quest to win back the Senate. Another place to look at 7 o'clock is Virginia, where there's a contested Senate race and a margin of error presidential race there. So those polls close early, so you want to look to Virginia. Those are the key Senate races that you want to look at. You'll probably have a pretty good idea by about 8 o'clock which way things are going in the House, because by then a number of different houses with competitive races will have come in, and we'll begin to get a good idea of a portrait of the American election landscape.
Well, Charlie Mattesian, why can't I? Mattesian of Politico, stay right there. We're going to come back to you. But first, we want to go to one of, you know, as everyone is saying, Ohio is potentially this year's Florida. So let's go to Ohio. Mitt Romney, the candidate, is there right now. So is John Broder of the New York Times. He joins us from Columbus. John, first of all, just what are you seeing and hearing there about, you know, turnout and enthusiasm?
It's actually the figures that have come in, both from early voting and just early anecdotal reports from polling places here, it's high, it's enthusiastic, it's maybe lagging a little behind 2008 when you had, you know, the historic Obama candidacy. I stopped in at the local AFL headquarters here, and they were sending out dozens and dozens of volunteers to go door-to-door to make sure people got out and voted. But the head of the local here said that it was a little slower getting volunteers geared up this year than 4 years ago.
Well, talk to us about provisional ballots, which are going to be an issue in many states. And first, let's get this out of the way. We understand in Ohio, the Secretary of State there sent letters out to voters asking every voter if they wanted to have an absentee ballot. They had to apply and get one if they wanted one. We're hearing that if they got the absentee ballot and didn't use it and go to the polls, they might be surprised to find that they have to fill out a provisional ballot. But the real issue around provisional ballots in Ohio, as we talked about yesterday, is that in the past, poll workers filled out part of the ballots, and if a mistake was made, the ballot was still counted. But just this past Friday, the Secretary of State there in Ohio, John Husted, said that voters, not poll workers, must fill out everything, and if anything is missing, the ballot will be thrown out. Now, we know voting activists are now suing. A judge is going to take this up tomorrow. But right now, are you hearing anecdotally, people having any issues with the provisional ballots there?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I've been to two polling places, and nobody's shown up with an absentee ballot in their back pocket and asked to vote at the polling station. Mr. Husted put out a statement yesterday clarifying what had been a bit unclear.
Right.
That if you have an absentee ballot, if you were one of the 1.3 million people who received an absentee ballot and not one of the 1.1 million who's already sent it in, if you still have it, you can fill it out, drop it off at the polling place, and it will be counted just as if you had put it in the mail yesterday. That was a late clarification yesterday. I don't know how widely that word got out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we do know, though, that provisional ballot counting in Ohio may mean that we don't know the results there for a while.
And it doesn't start for 10 days.
That's right, because they have till November 16th to turn in some of these absentees.
I could be here for a long time.
You can. Well, we just want to check in on the other race that's getting people to the polls there in Ohio, a contentious Senate race. Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown facing Republican State Treasurer Josh Mandel. Are you hearing that's driving people to the polls?
It certainly was one of the main points that the AFL people were making to their poll workers. They say, make sure that you tell them not just to vote for Barack Obama, but Sherrod Brown. In fact, I think there's a lot more enthusiasm in union households in Ohio for Sherrod Brown than there is for Barack Obama. He's considered one of them.
Isn't that interesting? John Broder of the New York Times in Ohio there in Columbus. Thanks so much for checking in.
Okay.
And let's check in now in Florida. Adam Smith is political editor for the Tampa Bay Times. He went to polling places in St. Petersburg this morning. Adam, what were you seeing?
Well, big lines early in the morning, even in the rain, and definitely tapered off late in the afternoon. I'm hearing South Florida, very big lines around Orlando, very big lines. So, and those typical sporadic election screw-ups and snafu complaints.
Well, and tell us what some of the snafus and complaints are, because the Miami Herald is reporting that a scanner broke at an elementary school in Pembroke Pines right after the polls opened. Some voters there ended up waiting 3 hours. Broward County, an elections spokeswoman, said about 700 absentee ballots were rejected by 10 a.m. So what are you seeing?
And we have in my neck of the woods, I got a call this morning from our former governor, Charlie Crist, saying his Democratic wife had gotten a robocall from our elections office saying, well, the voting starts tomorrow from 7 to 7.
Yeah.
But that's not helpful.
That's not helpful.
I mean, this is a time where, there are always going to be problems in many of these counties because we have a lot of very long ballot initiatives. It's going to take a long time to go through those ballots, and it's more likely to jam up and cause scanning problems. So so far it doesn't seem to be extremely widespread, but we could be seeing a lot more of this too.
Here's another one we're seeing on a tweet. Now, these are tweets. We don't know how valid they are, but, a lot of this is anecdotal. By the way, and there's the great website, Is Twitter Wrong? We highly recommend that. But a woman apparently tweeted today that in her district she had to do a provisional ballot because the system didn't print people's last names starting with J or K. So something to think
about
there.
They're discriminating against J and K in some county. That may be. This is Florida. We tend to do things more interesting.
Adam Smith, there's also a 12-page ballot, 11 constitutional amendments, among the most controversial, preventing penalties for not buying health insurance under so-called Obamacare, banning public funding of abortions, repealing a ban on the use of public money at religious organizations. Are people coming out for the ballot questions?
No, and I think there are probably a lot of people that are coming out and getting their ballots and are stunned, because these are not just one-paragraph ballot questions. These are multiple paragraphs where you looks like in very much legalese. This is something that the legislature did. So I think that could really cause some long lines if somebody was not prepared ahead of time to go through those ballot
right.
questions.
12 pages there in Florida. Adam Smith, political editor for the Tampa Bay Times, reporting on what he's seeing there in Florida. Adam, thanks so much.
Thanks.
And let's go back to Charlie Mattesian, national political editor for Politico. Charlie, what are some of the other things we might be seeing? We heard about these calls. We know that prior to this, registered voters in Florida, Virginia, Indiana received calls from phony election officials encouraging them to vote by phone. Of course, you can't do that. And these calls were received by both Democrats and Republicans. What are some of the other potential snafus?
Well, I think we have a rich tradition of election day dirty tricks in America. You know, they start a couple days before election day trying to, you know, misinform voters about when polls close, whether their votes count or not, lots of different things like that. I mean, I think there's lots of ways to create smoke in elections. You know, there are any number of different problems that you can foresee in counties and polling places, things like voting machine breakdowns. I think there's almost an infinite number of ways that the process can break down. Another thing I didn't even mention yet was the provisional ballots, which is something we could hear a great deal about.
Right.
There's about 10 states that have the provisional ballot situation, and one of them in particular, Ohio, is a state that saw a couple hundred thousand of them cast in 2008, and they were certainly a problem in 2004 when that state was a pretty close outcome between John Kerry and George Bush.
And just to remind ourselves, these provisional ballots came about after the 2000 election, a way for voters in Florida in particular who showed up and they were told they'd been purged from the rolls and they were real voters, but they had nothing to fall back on. These provisional ballots were then created to have a way to at least cast a ballot and then have it reviewed. But, of course, they are challenged. As we just heard in Ohio, there's a difference in how they're going to be filled out. So provisional ballots. Talk for a second before we go to the break, too, about voter IDs. In Pennsylvania, for instance, which the Romney campaign feels is, up in the air. The judge there struck down the voter ID requirement, and yet ads were sent out by the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania saying in big letters, show it, meaning an ID, and then in smaller letters, if you have it. Now, in Pennsylvania, the Secretary of State says this is true to the faithful to the judge's ruling because the judge said that election officials could ask for the ID but not require it, and that's what they say they're doing. But critics of that say, no, you're frightening people by saying show it when, in fact, they don't have to. Just in the minute we have, what do you think how the problems IDs are going to cause?
Well, certainly any time you have any sort of rule or statute that causes confusion among voters or that could impede access in any way, that stands to affect turnout and dissuade voters from showing up or casting votes. But I think so far, at least from the evidence we've seen in early voting and from the evidence we've seen through the courts in their rulings on many of these photo ID rules, it's turned out to be not nearly the situation that many Democrats expected. Many thought it could be catastrophic, and so far there aren't a lot of signs that it's that dire.
Charlie Mattesian, national political editor for Politico. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. Charlie, you stay right there. We're going to check in Colorado, New Hampshire. New Hampshire, they voted. What's that place, you guys, where they voted first thing in the morning? Dixville Notch voted, crack of dawn this morning, a tie. 5 for Mitt Romney, 5 for President Barack Obama of the 10 voters there in New Hampshire. We'll check in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back to our look at how it is going on this Election Day 2012. We've been talking with Charlie Mattesian, national political editor for Politico, and he's standing by. We've also been checking in on battleground states and polling stations across the country, and let's continue to do that. With Colorado, 9 electoral votes. 4 years ago, the Democratic Convention was in Denver. The state went blue, one of only 6 times since 1920. This year, it's been in play. Grace Hood is with KUNC in Greeley, Colorado. Grace, what are you seeing at the polls?
Seeing lines early this morning, and I just visited 2 sites. It's kind of mid-morning here, and it looks like there isn't quite as much traffic as there was first thing.
So it slowed down just a little bit. But what is bringing people to the polls there besides the presidential election? You've got some ballot questions?
We sure do. I'd say we don't have nearly as many ballot questions as Florida, but the top one seems to be Amendment 64, which is calling for legalizing small amounts of medical or small amounts of marijuana. It's called the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol Act.
Yeah. Here in Massachusetts, which has already legalized small amounts of marijuana, voters are being asked today if they want to tax and regulate it. Tell us there in Colorado about a heated congressional race in the area that includes Aurora. This is two-term Republican Representative Mike Kaufman facing competition from State Rep, the Democrat, Joe McCloskey. This race got some headlines.
It sure did. You know, it includes Aurora, which, of course, as you know, was the site of the Aurora Theater shooting. And Kaufman kind of got off to on the wrong foot early in his political campaigning. He made a remark that President Obama was just not an American, which caused some political problems for him. But, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about gun rights. Also, a lot of discussion about women's reproductive rights, and just, of course, seeing tons of commercials. We have so much money flowing into this state for political ads.
And I want to ask you about one last story there in Colorado. It caught our eye. You have Manuel Valenzuela of Colorado Springs. He's a former Marine, born in Mexico to an American mother. Now, by law, if you're born outside the country but to an American, you are American. But the Colorado Secretary of State, Scott Gessler, one of several state secretaries going through the voting rolls looking for illegal voters, sent Valenzuela a letter saying he is not a citizen because the Department of Homeland Security flagged him as undocumented. So Valenzuela took all his documents, including his mother's birth certificate, to his polling place, where the clerk said, of course, you're an American citizen. Here's your ballot. What's happening there?
Well, I think it's just ultimately very confusing. We had about 141 folks identified as non-citizens, and then last month letters were sent out to another 300 people suspected as non-citizens. I mean, certainly setting up alarm bells for immigrant and civil rights groups, and then you just ultimately have this confusing outcome for someone like Mr. Venezuela, who, you know, is getting conflicting messages from the Secretary of State and his local clerk and recorder.
Well, thank you so much, Grace Hood, KUNC in Greeley, for just giving us a taste of what's going on there in Colorado. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Let's switch now to New Hampshire. Josh Rogers is with New Hampshire Public Radio. He's been out to polling places. Boy, Josh, I was hearing a former New Hampshire official reminding voters this morning, if it hadn't been for Ralph Nader in an election years back, we might have had a different president. So New Hampshire very much being visited by the presidential candidates. What's been the turnout?
Well, the turnout so far looks pretty brisk. I'm in Ward 1 in Manchester, which is in the northern part of the city, fairly well-heeled, but, you know, potential to swing either way. And I was here early this morning, and the moderator said that there were about 400 voters per hour casting ballots, which she said was as fast as a pace as she'd seen in 10 years. And I'm here right now, and during the peak of the lunch rush, which seems to be waning a bit now, she said it was about 500 voters an hour. So, you know, there are about 5,000 people registered in this ward, and 4,000 have apparently voted by 11 a.m. So turnout looks big, and from what I'm hearing, it's pretty much everywhere in New Hampshire.
Yeah, and just briefly, besides the presidency, you got other things propelling voters. You've got a governor's race, ballot questions, other things getting people to the polls.
Yeah, I mean, the governor's, the corner office is open here for the first time in 8 years. Governor John Lynch, a Democrat, he's very popular. He decided not to seek a fifth term, and so it's an open seat with Ovid LaMontagne, the Republican, against Maggie Hassan, Democrat. They both of them cast this as sort of stark choices. LaMontagne, sort of full-spectrum conservative, Hassan trying to run in the Lynch legacy, and abortion and reproductive rights have been big issues in this. LaMontagne's quite conservative, and Republicans in the legislature have, kind of reopened debate on questions which Republican-controlled legislatures in the past year had let sit for some time. So there's been an interesting reflection of some of the national debates at the state level here that certainly Democrats are trying to mobilize women, and they have female nominees for every major office this year. So hypothetically, if they were to prevail across the board, you know, New Hampshire could end up with two female senators,
yeah,
a Republican, Kelly Ayotte, Democrat Jeanne Shaheen, a female governor, and two women in Congress also, which I think is the first any state would get that. But we're a long way from counting the votes.
Actually, I think Arizona might have been the first with a Republican slate, but you're right. People in New Hampshire looking to that. Josh Rogers of New Hampshire Public Radio, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Charlie Mattesian, national political editor of Politico. We got 1 minute. What should we be watching for today? Surges, where, you know, people might be showing up more. What should we watch for?
Well, I think one way to take a look at the map is to take a look at the East Coast and the swing states on the East Coast, mostly the swing states that are east of the Mississippi. You've got North Carolina, which is a must-win for Mitt Romney. Florida is another state that he's probably going to need. Ohio. These are all states that are going to close early in the polls, so we'll have a pretty good indication of how close things are going to be. There are really only two states west of the Mississippi, two swing states to watch, so we'll have a pretty good idea by early evening about how things are going.
And we're going to talk about how the TV networks plan to handle that early information. Charlie Mattesian, national political editor at Politico, thanks so much for riding along with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
It is Election Day 2012. We want to hear from you. How's it going for you out of the polls? Hereandnow.org. Leave a comment. Facebook.com/hereandnowradio. On Twitter, @hereandnow, @hereandnowrobin. How's Election Day going for you? We'll continue to cover it here and now.